which makes everything new, which puts us on the right path, which directs our way, which compels us to love beyond our ability. Lord, your word is the word of life for us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak beyond words that I say personally to each and every one in this room, that there would be a spiritual connection this morning with you and them. In your name we pray. Amen. It's really an honor and a privilege to be up here, and it's more difficult every opportunity I get to come up here, because I feel, I was talking with Doug, the weight of the world in representing him. So I want to just throw out a disclaimer. Anything and everything I have to say today is not original with me. You've heard it before. It's the gospel. But the Holy Spirit breathing on it will make all things new. How many times have we read through the word and we've read this before and all of a sudden it's new again? Well, I want you to take that posture of heart that though this is a reminder, somewhat repetitive, things you may have heard, it can be new again. And Kevin constantly reminds me there's a still more excellent way. We think we've gotten there, we think we've arrived, but we're just on the journey together. Beggars sharing bread. So that's my disclaimer. It's not about what I say doesn't count, it's what God has already said that counts. So that's what I want to try and reflect and share. And hearing from God is not auditory, it's a heart issue. So let the word of God penetrate areas that need to be penetrated. I want to read Matthew 7:13. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many, 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 many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I want to read a poem to you that's probably familiar to all of us that kind of directs us that way as to kind of why we're sitting here today. It's called "The Road Not Taken" by Robert Frost. Have any of you heard that? Yeah, most of you have. It goes like this. "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and it wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them out really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference." Our choice to go through the narrow gate and pursue a narrow path is a rich way to go. It's a choice that we've all made, and we get challenged in that every day, making that choice to go down the narrow road. It isn't narrow-minded. It isn't narrow living. It's very broad once you get through the narrow gate onto the narrow way. I have some questions for us to consider today, and some I have answers for and most I don't, but I wanted to ask us, what path are we on? Who is our guide? Do you own a compass, and do you understand how to read it? Where are we going, or better yet, where are we willing to go? Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. Now that kind of sounds cliche or elementary, or we've heard it 1,000 times, but it is absolutely imperative that is in us. it makes all the difference in the world. Your word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. What path am I on? Where am I going? A day at a time. I have to constantly check myself on what path am I on? Where am I heading? What am I investing in? What am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? Scripture says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's because we can. Because we've heard the word of God, and we've heard it repetitively, because we need to. We need to constantly hear and expose ourselves to his will, his way, his words, so that we can be changed. If we don't, we won't. We'll just stay on the same course, the same path, doing what's familiar and comfortable to us. God wants to change how we go about our days. I think the battle for our heart in the culture these days is the God of choice. We have choices. We have decisions. What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What choice am I going to make? I have a free will, but choosing is going to turn into the big battleground in our culture, in our world, because of I have the freedom to marry my brother, abort my child, disobey the laws, do what I want. I mean, choice is big, 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 and we all make choices every day, but that's going to be a big battle because you can't tell me your choice is not my choice. There's a battleground raging over what we can and can't do. But what path we on and the choice we make is going to make all the difference in the world, and it's God's ways work. Nobody else's does God's ways work. David writes in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I look at that two ways. I shall not want, meaning he is my provider. If he is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't be in need. But then another perspective is, I shall not want blank. Fill in the blank. What is it in competition for our hearts on our path to get us off the path, focused on our choices and our needs, and not follow him, but make our choice the idol of what we want to do and where we're going to go and the path we're on? What is it that is preoccupied your attention that you're focused on that, because that becomes an idol, not him? Anything that competes with Jesus becomes an idol in our lives. And that's different degrees, different ways, but he wants our attention. He's given us life. He wants to direct us in his path. His word is the way, is the only way to live. So we need to immerse ourselves in his word. Again, the call of God has never been arriving at a certain point or posture or position at all. It's about going. And that's part of the journey. We've talked about that last year. We talked a lot about the journey and what that meant in each of our lives. So it's not about arriving somewhere. It's about continually going. And when God called us, and it's throughout Scripture, he doesn't use a whole lot of words. He says, come. He says, go. He says, be still. He says a lot with just a little. And he does a lot with absolutely nothing. He created the earth out of nothing. He started with nothing. It didn't stop him from speaking the whole universe into existence. I mean, his word just captivates my heart and mind, what his word can do and will do. Let me back up and read a couple of scriptures that help guide us in what I'm trying to say. Scripture says it so much better than I do. Jeremiah 6:16 goes like this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Psalm 119:35. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Paths, paths, paths. That's all I can think about the last couple of months is, what path am I on? Because I see it everywhere. And Scripture relates to, there's other paths you can take. And it's very explicit about the destination of your journey if you're on the other path. It's not very good. Proverbs 4:10. Listen, my son, and accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. In this, we already touched on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He guides me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. For my sake? No. For his name's sake. It's for him. Proverbs 23:19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. There are other paths. Okay, we've identified Scripture backs up paths and what paths we're on and what that means in our life. Our guide is obviously the Holy Spirit. Our guide is constantly directing us, speaking to us, showing us, encouraging us, compelling us, healing us, directing us, provoking us. The Spirit of God is joy, and joy is our strength. So we can have joy every single day if we're on the right path, doing whatever might seem routine and menial to us in the hustle and bustle of life. The little things we do make a lot of difference. They count for something. It really does. How you walk your path, the day at a time counts. What is our compass? Obviously, our compass is the Word of God in relationship with Him, in reading His Word, and in acting on His Word. Pretty simple. The Word of God is our compass. You have to read the compass. If it's collecting dust, it's not doing you any good. We have to read the compass. Question 4, where are we going or willing to go? Our story is, as Kevin said last week, what he has done in our lives, what he is doing, and what he will do. He's constantly at work, and I'm looking forward to the men's retreat to hear stories of men's lives, and it's always great. It's always just... it bonds you in your relationship. Paul, when you shared a couple years ago, we were all blown away. The patch, the jacket, the path, all of that. It was huge. It touched all of us. So telling a story makes a lot of difference. So one thing that I don't like to do that Kevin always presses me on is... he says, Bill, you have to tell your story. And I said, people know me. They know my story. They've heard this before. And he said, no. He said, you have to tell your story and let people know because people don't know. And this is not to be egotistical, monster me, talking about me. It's to reflect on how God has operated and been active in my path along the way every day in different scenes, in different settings, and you'll understand as I share a little bit about this. I got two stories I want to share, and I hope this helps us. And it's, again, it's about pointing towards what he can do. Recently at work, I'm in construction and working on a fairly good-sized project. It's about 60 acres, a big shopping center. We're at the stage where we're doing all the underground utilities. Gary, you know all about this, and the soils and placing it, and long story short, I got in trouble with an inspector. The plans said when you get this part of the job done, you invite this inspector out to check it. And there was two inspectors, two names, county and city, and I asked the city who's inspecting what, and they said, we'll inspect that. So I called the city out, had them inspect this underground reclaimed water, and we had, I don't know, 2,000 feet of it in the ground, covered up. And an official at the building department I know calls me, says, "Hey, Bill," he says, "have you called this guy?" I said, "No." I said, "It's been real confusing as to who's inspecting this." He says, "Well, you better." He says, "I was in the meetings, and they want to see what you're doing." I said, "Okay, but the senior public works guy said, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it," and I never heard back from him, so now here I'm sitting, and I'm nervous. So he says, "Here's the guy's name, phone number." So I call him up. This is the head of the reclaimed sanitation department. I said, "Okay, here's the deal. I apologize right off the bat. I got ahead of things. I didn't call you. Here's where we're at. I want to let you know." And he says, "Okay, did you put in the right tape? Did you do this? Did you do that?" I said, "Yes, yes, yes, yes. I'll send you photos in 10 minutes of what we did." He said, "Okay." So I took photos and sent them to him three times. I sent them to him three times. I want to make sure he got the photos. And then I didn't hear anything. That's on a Friday or a Thursday. And Monday afternoon, I get an email from some other guy saying, "You need to get in touch with me. I need to come out and inspect what you're doing." So I call him up and said, "Okay, this is the inspector now. Robert, I apologize. I got ahead of ourselves. I didn't understand. This is what we did." And he was not happy. A little uptight, a little pushy on the phone, and I was saying, "I'm sorry." He says, "Okay, I'll be out this afternoon." So I swallow hard and said, "Okay." So he's supposed to be there at 1:30. 1:30 comes and goes, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, 3:30. He doesn't show, so I said, "I'm out of here. I don't know what happened." So I get to the job the next day, and I get to work early because I like getting up early. I like starting my day early, and I'll sit down with the Word because I have to. That's my deal. Every morning, the very first thing I do is read and read and read because I have to get oriented and stay on the right path, because about midway through the day, I will lose it with somebody. I will want to kill somebody. I will start using adjectives. I need to read. I need to get on the right path. So I'm sitting there like I always do, my Bible and my cup of coffee, and it's coffee cup communion is what I call it. It's me and him. And all of a sudden, this guy walks into my office, and I look up, and there's the inspector. I go, "You Robert? You Bill?" "Yeah." "Okay, let's talk." I swallow hard. I said, "Okay, can we get up and look at the plans?" And we talk, and this is what happened, this is how it happened. He goes, "Okay, I need to see it." And it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. And I'm really busy today. Gosh, let's see, tomorrow I got lab. I could probably come by Friday afternoon. And I go, "No, Steve, it's half covered. I got to continue going. I've got to survey other utility. This is killing me. It's stopping the job. It's ruining my life, my week." That's how I feel. It's killing me. I said, "Could I please text you like today after lunch and see if you're available? Because I really, really, really need help." "Yeah, you can text me. Bye." So he went off. I text him after lunch. "Can you come by today, please?" Text me, "I'll see you at 3:30. I was scared and happy. So he shows up about 3:45. So let's go. So we go up and down, look at all that's covered up, and there's some laterals and some lines, and you can see some of it sticking out of the ground, but the main line, you don't see at all. It's gone, it's buried, it's down. And we talk, and what I usually do is talk about anything but construction. "Do you have a family? Do you have kids? Who are they? Where are they? What are they doing?" He's got a son, freshman football at Servite, da-da-da. We got talking, I wanted to let him know that I'm human, even though I'm a superintendent. I'm flesh and blood. I'm not his enemy. I'm trying to work together. And so we talked and talked and went up and down the trench. And so we went back to the plans, and he signed off on the plans. And I walked him out to the car. And he says, here's the deal, Bill. He said, the word changes everything. He said, when I walked in and saw you reading Proverbs, he said, that immediately gave you credibility in my eyes, that this isn't one of those guys. He might be an okay guy, but we had to walk and we had to talk and we had to see what you did, and now I know you're honest. He said, we're going to be working together for the next year and a half. He says, so we got off to a rocky road, but the word changed everything. So, yeah. So, I mean, the word of God changes everything in any environment, anywhere, at any time, all the time, 100% of the time, every word. So that, I was just beside myself, and I just went around the job telling other guys, you won't believe this. You will not believe this. The inspector that was on my case, like, we're like this. I said, and it's because of the word of God. That was the whole deal. That was the common denominator. And I don't know where he's at in his faith. He's a Catholic, which once a Catholic, always a Catholic, kind of. So that was a big deal. So that was a game changer. And my last story, I won't go long. I call it, and you may have heard this, I call it From Death to Life, honoring my dad. I was talking recently with Kevin. He says, you have to. So this is about God mending relationships, and that's always a big deal to me. And every time I get up here, the first thing that I want to talk about is forgiveness, because that's my weakest link, and it's the biggest boulder, the biggest stone I have to try and roll away, and I can't, and it's been a challenge my whole life and still is today. But over time, my dad left our family when we were young, kind of abandoned and rejected us, and it took a lot of time to work through who he is, what he is, how to forgive him. He's not asking for forgiveness. Never came up in conversation. And so over time, I went from not disliking him, I hated him, and to kind of, I guess he's okay, he's my dad. And then Kevin walked me through some really deep hurt and anxiety and how to do this, to the point where my dad, he's dying. This was back in 06. And what brings me around to this story is the recent passing of Terry Cochran. And we just had this last month a memorial among my brothers and sisters for my dad, who died February 19th of 06. He didn't want a memorial service or anything, but we did. So it took a while to put it together, but we just did that in September. So Shay and I went down to see my dad. Steve and Mark went in December. Mary and Ruth went early January. Shay and I went January 15th. Ed and Ruth, they went later. And at any rate, we got down there. We just went a few siblings at a time. And I went to see Dad in his assisted care place, and he was just the skeleton of a man who he used to be. He was a George Lazeski-size guy, you know, 6'2", 6'3", pretty good shape, and he was, I don't know, probably 130, skin and bones, real gravelly voice, could hardly talk, riddled with cancer. And we walk into the room and hug him, and he says, he always called me Will. He says, hey, Will, your sisters have been here already, and I've got some stuff if you want. They've gone through it. You can go through it and take whatever you want. And the only thing Dad had of value was he was a painter like Lee, and all the canvases are gone. So there's a box of books. My dad had nothing. left. So I picked out some books from his box. And he said, but when he was telling me this, go help yourself to anything. And I said, well, Dad, I said, what I really want more than anything else is your blessing. And I said, not now. I said, we're here for 5 days, so think about it, and there'll be a time, but that's all I want. He said, okay, well, could hardly talk. A couple days later, we bring him home to my brother's house, and we're sitting outside, and Dad smoked till he passed away, and so we'd sit outside on the patio and smoke and talk and carry on. And one afternoon, he was real tired. He said, Will, would you help me into the house? I'm tired. I need to sit down. So I helped Dad in and set him in this lazy boy, and I sit down at the couch next to him, and he grabs my hand, and he starts speaking scripture. And it blew me away. And his voice was so gravelly, I got about every other word. Like, I'm listening real hard, like, what are you saying? He got done. I said, where did you get that? Where in the world, Dad, did you get that? I said, that is out of the book. Where did you get it? He said, Will, I've had that in my heart since I was 14. And I said, prayed to myself immediately, God, please put that in my spiritual pantry so that I can find it in time, what that blessing is about, because I need it, I want it, please. And get home, and it was a week or two later, you know, we're going through the Bible like we typically do through the whole year, Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, and I'm reading Numbers 6:24. Bingo! There it was. And I said, yes, I get it. I got it. And the crux of the story is, in spite of, it's not about me, it's about God pummeling me to forgive. And that's another story. I mean, he pummeled me, crushed me, humiliated me. I bawled my eyes out. My guts were churning. I didn't have it. I couldn't manufacture it. I couldn't give it what you don't have. You can't. But God, over the process of time, and it took a long time, to crush and pummel my heart to say, it's okay. I don't need him to ask me, would you forgive me for abandoning, rejecting, walking out, treating your mom like this, treating your brother like that, treating your sisters this way, you know. That isn't even on the table anymore. That's gone. It's God's love working in his word and in his ways towards my father. And we just had this memorial service, got all the siblings together, which is a big deal. And the day before, Ruth says, who wants to share? And I thought, are you kidding me? Yes, 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 yes. So I text her back, and we get together that day, and it's going to be it's like a little Arlington cemetery, real small, really cool, Marines decked out, marching with the box of ashes, setting it down, the flag routine, open it up, fold it up, hand it to it's like, wow. And so I got to share. It was between me and my dad's younger brother and only brother that's left, the only uncle in the family, and he's about 81, so John. So the gal facilitating this says, okay, who's going first? And John says, Bill. I said, come on, you're his brother, you're my uncle. He says, you. I said, okay. So I got up there, it was very short, and I thought it would be an icebreaker, that it would start popcorn amongst my siblings, that they would get up and start sharing stories, and that didn't happen. However, I didn't have much to say, but I started off by saying, you know, he had passed away in 06, and we're here today. I said, but I think the Father in heaven is very delighted that we are honoring our Father, in spite of whatever, doesn't matter. This is our day for him. And it was the best Malmsteen gathering that I can remember, because there was, with eight eight siblings, there's always rivalry, there's competition, there's, you know, in a big family, there's always somebody rubbing against somebody else, and there was none of that going on the whole weekend. It was just a phenomenal time, and I mean, heart-to-heart conversations and surrounding in the natural what could look like a cruddy upbringing, not at all. That isn't even on the table. That's not a subject matter. All we could talk about is fun stories amongst each other about Dad, about Mom, about being together. So I just share those two stories to represent how good God is in His Word. And when you read it, take it for real. It is the real deal. It changes everything. And His love and His forgiveness and what we don't have, that's okay. It's like getting up here. I'm qualified because I'm a sinner. That's the only reason I can get up here. Not because I know anything, it's because I know somebody who forgives sins. That's what qualifies me to share today, not that I know anything else. So I want to say it's a delight and a joy to share stories and to talk and the amazing things of our Lord. And before we get out of here today, Simeon, if you want to come up, I wanted to introduce to you Sean and Natasha, if you'll stand up there. Visitors today, and I want everybody to at least get to know them. So we'll have music, but let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather together in your presence to share stories, share life, share your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch all our hearts in a personal way to direct our steps, our path. Your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Father, help us stay in sync with you. Correct us, forgive us, invite us into your presence, and help us in your amazing grace. In your name we pray. Amen.